That was the Serenata, preceded by the Sinfonia from the Pulcinella Suite. It was actually written by Pergolesi and rearranged and orchestrated and put together as a ballet by Igor Stravinsky. And that concludes this evening's classical show. This has been Valerie Jean. Stay tuned now for Brain Damage here on 90.1 FM, Stony Brook, Long Island's first station of the 90s. Now, here's Stardate.
Stardate June 29th. Galaxies are gigantic collections of stars. We live in the Milky Way galaxy. It has several hundred billion stars in all. But stars alone don't make a galaxy. Galaxies also contain space. Lots more space than stars. How much more space? So much more that it's useless to try to talk about space in terms of miles. You'd need too many miles to describe the vast stretches of space within galaxies. Too many numbers. It's easier to talk about galactic distances in light years, which are defined by the distance light travels in a year. Light travels at a speed of 186,000 miles per second. In 1 year, a light ray covers about 6 trillion miles. You can also have light seconds, the distance light travels in 1 second. We can measure the sizes of stars in light seconds and compare that to the amount of space to find the ratio of stars to space in the galaxy. When we do that, we find that light has to travel about 5 years to cover the average distance between stars. After streaking through space for 5 years, a ray of light might encounter a star the size of our sun, zip past it in only about 4 seconds, and plunge again into another 5 years of empty space before reaching the next nearest star. Our program is Stardate. It's written and produced by Deborah Bird. For a copy of Stardate magazine, please send your name and address and $1 to cover postage and handling to the University of Texas McDonald Observatory. We're in Austin, Texas. Our zip code is 78712. And give us the name of your Stardate station, please. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
Number is 2. Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Brain damage.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
Five,
did you say? Nine.
Just hold on a second.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
If you do not push a key in 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
And a very good evening to one and all. The program is Brain Damage. We're with you until midnight. Tonight we have all kinds of things to get into. First, of course, being Moscow Mailbag, but we also have some interesting things from the newly formed Republic of Croatia. And that came off the radio tonight, so stay tuned. We'll be taking calls later, too. First, Moscow Mailbag.
This is your program, Moscow Mailbag. And here's Joe Adamoff to answer your questions. The first one is from Bob Svankara of Ponticello, Idaho, and the question is, what is the position of your government concerning UFOs?
Well, the fact that we have a National UFO Coordinating Center under the Academy of Sciences and the National UFO Association with Cosmonaut Popovich as chairman proves, I think, that we're taking the problem seriously. They publish a magazine, no end of booklets, and even have a correspondence school on UFOs. Besides, we have a regular TV program on this very interesting and intriguing subject. Our people report sightings, landings, contacts with humanoids, and what have you. But, you know, nobody today denies the fact that we are not the only civilization in our galaxy or maybe in the universe. We also all note the multitude of forms of UFOs. Before our very eyes, they often change their form. Probably they can change their condition of matter itself. we still do not know how this is done. The latest theory, incidentally, is that because of the thousands of contacts, these humanoids are not from outer space, but they share the planet we live on. In other words, they're Earthmen like we. This is a case of coexistence with non-protein nucleic matter. We are told that this is organic energy whose waves probably form organic matter unknown as yet to us. Photographs in the invisible part of the electromagnetic spectrum of oscillation seem to prove this. In the past several years, tens of thousands of such photographs have been made, and probably, we believe, they can enter, that is, these humanoids, enter the visible specter as solids, and then again melt away into the invisible world. Well, these beings often take humanoid forms. Now, as for the so-called flying saucers, our scientists believe, or some of them at least, that they are temporary containers of this ethereal intellect, whatever that may be. Containers so that they could quickly travel in our dense atmosphere. When this container is not needed anymore, the UFO melts right before our very eyes. They say that this is a hypothesis proved by thousands of photographs. But, you know, it's very hard to believe or very hard to understand, especially for a layman like me.
And Bob also wants to know, how do you feel about teaming up with the U.S. for a trip to Mars?
Well, we've stressed the joint exploration of space, the pooling of knowledge and expenditures would be beneficial to all. But so far, I have not heard anything concrete on the subject.
Okay, now over to British Columbia, Vancouver. A question from Paul Pasternak. He writes, I'm curious as to how Radio Vilnius broadcasts its English language programs over shortwave. I thought they use Radio Moscow transmitters. Paul mentions the fact that Soviet troops took over the TV station in Vilnius as proof of the fact that the Soviet government wants to keep control over the media.
Paul, all transmitters are under the Ministry of Communication and do not belong to Radio Moscow. The transmitters operate under contract, whoever wants to sign it, with the ministry, and Radio Vilnius has such a contract. As for the takeover of the television station in Vilnius, this has been condemned by the majority of our media, and to this day we find it hard to find who actually gives orders for such police actions. The powers that be deny they had anything to do with this, that is, with this or any other police action, and it seems the line of command from the top down to the local police bodies has broken down completely. Or maybe it hasn't.
Well, Paul also wants to know about the logistics and politics of Radio Vilnius.
I think it would be more logical to get the information you want straight from the horse's mouth and not from me, so just write to Radio Vilnius. They'll answer you.
Okay, Nicholas Peter Adams of Newark, New Jersey asks, what are the most popular vacation spots for Soviet citizens within the USSR?
We have vacation spots practically all over the country, some very beautiful ones in Siberia, like on Lake Baikal, I've been there twice, or on Lake Issyk-Kul in Central Asia. Very popular are some of the resorts in the Baltic republics, like Jūrmala in Latvia or Palanga in Lithuania, with very good service. And you know, despite the current political friction, our people still go there and are very well received, I understand. One of our staff has just gone there with her husband. But, you know, the Baltic, that is the sea, is not too good for swimming. You can only swim for about a month or maybe a month and a half a year. But they have heated pools and saunas to make up. Now, you ask for the most popular vacation spots. No doubt they're in the subtropical part of our Black Sea coast, like Suhumi, Batumi, Dagra, Sochi, and many other charming resorts. Here you'll find magnolia and banana trees, palms, cypress trees, and tea plantations. The area abounds in rich subtropical flora, blue skies, the sea, and mountains rising right from the coastal strip, like in Dagra, for instance. Decent roads, hotels, and medical establishments. In north of the Caucasian range are such well-known spas as Pyatigorsk and Kislovodsk. Pyatigorsk is an outstanding water, or as they call it, balneological and curative mud resort. Kislovodsk climate is superior, they say, to that of the famous Swiss resorts. Its curative waters are famous. It also produces, incidentally, some of our best mineral water called Narzam. Famous, too, are the resorts of the Crimea, like Yalta, which was the seat of the famous summit conference during the war, when Roosevelt, Churchill, and Stalin met.
And what about the most popular vacation spots outside the country?
Most popular are the countries of Eastern Europe. You'll see why I'm laughing. But today, millions of so-called tourists visit, say, Poland, and carry on illegal commerce. They take there what they lack, that is, what the Poles lack, or what could be sold there, and bring back goods in short supply here. This illegal foreign trade has reached actually huge dimensions, and efforts are being made to curb it. But it all goes under the label of tourism, don't you know? Perhaps one of the most popular vacation spots used to be Karlovy Vary, or Karlsbad, in Czechoslovakia. The resorts of the Bulgarian Black Sea coast are also popular. I was there many years ago and found the balmy climate very good indeed, and also the service, I think, was excellent. By the way, the place was overrun with West German tourists eager for sandy beaches and the sun.
I've got another question from Nicholas. How many weeks of paid vacation does the average worker receive?
According to the new law, the Russian parliament passed not so long ago, no less than 4 weeks. Some categories of workers have more. They have 6 weeks.
What about, can a vacationing family rent a car?
I'm afraid not. At one time, a vacationing family could rent a car, but no more, for reasons which, on the whole, I think are valid. But you can rent a car for convertible currency, that is, for dollars or any other Western currency.
Can a person accumulate the days of his vacation for future use?
The rules say no, but people do it all the time. I'm one of them.
How long must you work at a job to be eligible for a paid vacation?
11 months.
Next we have a letter from R. Field of Eastbourne, Sussex, Great Britain. Why did the Soviet government not protest more strongly at the destruction of Iraq during the Gulf War?
If anybody, I think it was we, that did all we could to try and get Saddam Hussein to agree to the Security Council resolution and withdraw from Kuwait. Our tireless efforts along this line didn't always find the understanding of some of our friends. But all we wanted to do was to avoid bloodshed. As for the uncalled-for destruction of many civilian objectives in Iraq, I think we were quite outspoken about that on many occasions. The number, by the way, of civilian casualties in Iraq has not been published to this day. The war against the Kurds is one of the darkest, I think, pages in Saddam Hussein's rule. The suffering, the hunger, the misery, and the deaths are actually immeasurable. I may be wrong, but I feel the tragedy of the Kurds could have been avoided. Though, of course, we're told this is Iraq's internal problem.
David J. Card of Rialto, California, writes, how has the Soviet Union's Hockey Federation viewed the Soviet players' participation in the National Hockey League, particularly the failure of some of your star players like Vladimir Krutov?
Well, our press featured all these goings-on in detail. Krutov didn't make it in the NHL and went to Switzerland, as you probably know. In 61 games, he scored only 11 goals. He was overweight, we're told. And to some extent, or maybe to a great extent, it may have been his character. Then he doesn't speak English. He found it hard to adapt himself to everything that was new around him. He was not used to playing so many games a season. And he couldn't get used to the Canadian tactics of the game. Not that I'm defending him, but those are the facts.
Kenneth Warner, Sr. of Florence, Kentucky, asks, did Russia and Germany use poison gases against each other in World War I?
Unfortunately, yes. The first to use poison gas was the German army in 1915 near the town of Ypres in Belgium. The American soldiers called it wipers, because that's the way it's spelled. The Russian army, by the end of 1917, had 14 chemical platoons. Incidentally, the American army, by the end of 1918, had 3 chemical regiments. But, to make a long story short, I think chemical weapons should not only be banned, but completely destroyed. I think we're both working towards that.
Robert Thomas of Bridgeport, Connecticut, wants to know, are there any major archaeological digs and studies underway at present in your country? Any exciting discoveries so far?
You know, there's so many that I don't know on which to focus. Let's take one, the big discovery that was made, well, it was a few years ago, actually, in Turkmenia, in Central Asia, at a place called the Golden Hill, or Altın Tepe, as they call it in Turkmenian. They discovered a previously unknown civilization dating back, guess to when, the 3rd and early 2nd millennium B.C. There were huge fortress walls, 18 feet thick. The people that lived there cultivated barley and kept cattle. They used very intricately adorned clay vessels that were fired in two-tiered ceramic kilns. Various decorations were found, made of gold and silver, of lazurite and turquoise, and many other precious stones. And they found the head of a bull made of pure gold and eyes of turquoise.
Mrs. Carla Hopkins of Denver, Colorado, asks what is currently happening at the Chernobyl plant.
In a previous edition, I explained that there were no inhabitants in the city, but the atomic power station was working. The people who work there live in another town not so far away. Radiation, strange as it may seem, around the station is normal today, and the station has been visited by many foreign journalists and visitors from around 50 countries.
And another question, what types of medical problems are facing the people?
You know, the Prime Minister of the Ukraine said that 1.5 million people in the Ukraine, including 250,000 children, are under the influence of the Chernobyl tragedy. What does that mean? Over 150,000 people got the so-called iodine blow or shock, which affected the thyroid gland. In some regions of Russia, incidentally, diseases of the thyroid increased 5 times, and there's an 8 to 12 times increase in anemic diseases among children. And today, we still have arguments among our scientists as to what constitutes a really dangerous dose of radiation. But, you know, much was kept a secret and swept under the carpet in the years following the tragedy.
And now it's time for a wrap-up joke.
This was heard on television the other night. Why did we adopt the SECAM television system and not the PAL or PAL system, like most of the world? Answer? Because we always adopt the wrong system.
That was Joe Adamov answering your questions on Moscow Mailbag. Address your letters to Radio Moscow, Moscow, the USSR. You couldn't do better than write us that letter. Your comments on this show are always welcome.
And thank you very much, Joe Adamov, for cutting us off without any warning like that while I was on the other side of the building. Ah, yes. Well, I understand we've got a pair of tickets to give away to something here, something Soviet in nature. How do young Russians see life today in the Soviet Union? From June 26th to the 30th at 8 p.m. You gave this to me just so I'd make a fool of myself trying to pronounce it, right? Okay. Tverbul, or Verbul, or something like that. It's spelled TV, and anything beginning with TV deserves to be mispronounced, I say. Anyway, forget about that. Don't miss this unique opportunity to glimpse the truth about the changes in Soviet society. I don't know why they put the word changes in quotes. Perhaps we're a bit cynical, people putting this thing out? Huh. Don't miss this unique opportunity to glimpse the truth about the changes in Soviet society through the eyes of this country's young people. The Tovaretsestvo, which means comradeship, of actors and musicians, TAM, have created a distinctly Russian musical theater piece around Tverobul, Moscow's Tverskoy Boulevard. Live music and visual vignettes provide an inside look at today's Russian society as perceived by its youth. I know it's vignettes, but I prefer to say vignettes, if you don't mind. The folk songs are new, written by 25-year-old Alexei Pepperny, author, actor, musician, composer, lyricist, director, and gym teacher. The oldest of the 15-member ensemble is Pyotr Pasternak, age 30, actor, stage designer, and grandson of Boris Pasternak. The festival engagement has been made possible through the cooperation of the Theater Union of the Russian Republic. And if you want a pair of tickets, call us now at 632-6901. We will take the first person who can see that. The Stoller Center, anywhere between now and the 30th of June, which I guess is it's tomorrow. I guess you got to see it tomorrow then. I don't know why it wasn't made clear at the beginning, but that's the way it is. So if you want to see this tomorrow, give us a call at 632-6901. That being said, let me also say good evening to everybody out there. Good evening to those of you just joining us and to those of you who have left. Well, it's nice knowing you. We have an interesting show for you tonight. We're going to be talking about some world and local events, playing with telephones, taking telephone calls, and all that kind of thing. First, though, a little contest. I have an exciting cash prize. That's right, an exciting cash prize for anyone who can call up and tell me what this music is from. And if you can't call up, or if you don't know what the music is from, that's fine too. You can just sit back and enjoy it. Nothing against that. If you're not in a place where the heat is literally emanating out of the walls, like some of us are, just sit back and take in this mysterious music, which we will announce after we play it. But if you know what it is, an exciting cash prize is waiting for you. 632-6901, area code 516 is our phone number.
We'll be right back.
You know, nobody got it. Nobody got it right. It's incredible. We've got all kinds of neat guesses there. King Crimson, Pink Floyd, The Doors. But nobody got it right. This record supposedly doesn't exist. It's very hard to even get anybody to admit that it exists. Soundtrack to a film. Film called The Fantastic Planet. And boy, I had to search all over the world to find this. But I found it. Yes, I found it in the end. Cost a pretty penny. Have about 14 people I owe favors to now. But I got it in my grubby little hands. And in the end, that's all that really matters. Fantastic Planet is an animated film made, I believe it's a co-French Czechoslovakian production. So, worth seeing. The film is easy enough to find. The film can be found almost in any video store, I think. And I don't think it's on the Blockbuster hit list. It's not anti-Christian or anything like that, so I don't think you'll have trouble finding it there. But better off going to a real video store with real people, I always say. Our telephone number is 632-6901, area code 516. If you have anything interesting to say, we'll be taking phone calls a little bit.
You are listening to Croatian Radio Zagreb, a program of news and current affairs, broadcast from the short wave. We're on the air every day on 41 meters, 7,315 kHz. And on Saturday and Sunday, also on 31 meters, 9,495 kHz. The news. According to the latest casualty reports resulting from the ongoing hostilities in Slovenia, 20 soldiers of the Yugoslav Occupation Army have been killed, as well as 8 members of the Slovene Territorial Defense Force and 12 civilians. 50 army personnel have been wounded, together with 30 from the Slovenian forces and 5 policemen. 250 soldiers of the so-called Yugoslav army have left their posts and crossed over to the Slovene forces, and more than 500 Yugoslav army personnel, including 65 officers, have been taken prisoner. Representatives of Sijana municipality met tonight with representatives of the Yugoslav army of occupation and the federal police force. The object of discussions was to resolve the situation in this border town. At a press conference which followed, it was stated that not much had been achieved, but that talks would continue tomorrow. Both sides have so far observed the ceasefire and are in favor of a peaceful settlement. The Tijana representative made a special point of stressing the anger and deep embitterment felt by the people of this area over the actions of the occupational forces. The Slovene Minister of Information, Jelko Čačin, told a press conference today that talks held in Ljubljana between Slovenia's Minister of Defense, Mr. Janez Janša, the Slovene Interior Minister, Mr. Igor Bavčar, and the Deputy Commander of the 5th Army District, General Andrija Rašeta, failed to produce the results hoped for. During the talks, General Rašeta proposed federal control of international border crossing posts to establish. This proposal was rejected as it had no basis in law. Conflict is solved through application of 3 main conditions. An unconditional and immediate ceasefire and withdrawal by the army into its barracks. The requests by both Croatia and Slovenia of a permanent suspension of Romanian declarations and other acts adopted by the Slovenian and Croatian parliaments relating to disassociation and independence, as well as the continuation of talks, and finally, that Serbia drops its opposition to the inauguration of Stepa Mesic as the constitutional president of the presidency of Yugoslavia. Mr. Jacques Foch, Luxembourg Foreign Minister, had said that the EC will be monitoring the situation in Yugoslavia very closely. He also said that no final decision has yet been made on suspending economic aid to Yugoslavia. The Croatian President, Dr. Franjo Tuđman, has sent a letter to the President of the European Council of Ministers in which he referred to the fact that the EC has always opposed the use of force in tackling political problems. He explained that Croatia and Slovenia have no desire to sever all ties with other republics in Yugoslavia. They simply want to achieve democracy and a free economy for all within the country. And in line with that, wrote Dr. Tuđman, Croatia and Slovenia have proposed a union of sovereign states operating under democratic values. Austria's Foreign Minister, Mr. Alois Mock, and his Croatian opposite number, Dr. Davorin Rudolf, met in Vienna today. In a statement given after the meeting, Mr. Mock stressed that everything possible is being done to establish a dialogue which would lead to a peaceful settlement of the crisis in Yugoslavia and the transformation of the state. Thinking of a possible union of sovereign independent Yugoslav republics, Dr. Rudolf said that Yugoslavia should be recaptured in the lines of the European community. He went on to say that the Croatian and Slovenian declarations of independence are irrevocable, but that their implementation has only been temporarily suspended. That agreement has been reached to end military intervention and on the inauguration of Peter Mesic as the President of the Presidency of Yugoslavia. Pope John Paul II today issued a strongly worded demand for a halt to the use of force in Yugoslavia. He sent separate messages to the President of the Federal Government, Andrej Markovic, the President of the Presidency of Slovenia, Milan Kučan, and to Croatia's President, Dr. Tuđman. The Association of Independent Unions of Croatia has called on the leadership of all unions in Croatia and Slovenia, as well as those in other Yugoslav republics, to formally condemn the actions of the Yugoslav Army Command and to instruct the soldiers and citizens of their republics to disobey any orders which would result in endangering the lives of citizens in any of the republics. The Association also called on all recruits serving in the so-called Yugoslav Army, as well as their parents, to join forces in opposing the military actions. And it has appealed to all union members to remain calm, but ready to obey the call of the leadership of the Republic of Croatia and its authorities when they should join in an organized defense of the freedom and sovereignty of the homeland. At a press conference in Ljubljana this morning, Mr. Milan Kučan, President of Slovenia's presidency, said on his return from Zagreb, where he had met the EEC delegation, that Slovenia had made no attack on anyone. Rather, she had herself been attacked and occupied by the Yugoslav army. The army, he said, had no business being on the border in any civilized country. Additionally, he said, neither the Slovene legal system nor the Yugoslav legislature support the demands of the army that it should station itself on the border. Mr. Kučan also said that the army is justifying its actions in Slovenia by regulations adopted by the federal government. But its president and vice president, Andrej Markovic and Jitko Prebo, are saying that those resolutions are no justification for the way the army is behaving. Mr. Jitko Prebo, meanwhile, has repeated his demand to Mr. Ante Markovic that the Federal Secretary for National Defense, General Veljko Kadijevic, be stripped of his office. And once again, Croatia has not enjoyed a peaceful day today. In the village of Tenja, not far from Osijek, unknown gunmen fired at a police patrol, seriously wounding one policeman. And during last night and this morning, the municipality of Vukovar also had its share of attacks by Chetniks from Borovo Selo, as well as other incidents, shooting and explosions. The local people there are particularly disturbed by sniper fire across the Danube from Vojvodina. It has been learned in Skopje from Vasil Kupakovsky, the Macedonian member of the Yugoslav presidency, that the Yugoslav presidency's session set for 7 this evening did not meet and will probably not do so until tomorrow at the earliest. The session was called with the aim of carrying out the constitutional inauguration of its president and vice president. But the representatives of Serbia and Montenegro have stated that they will not cast their votes in favor of Mr. Mesic unless and until the parliaments of Croatia and Slovenia suspend their declarations of independence and acts of disassociation. More than 10 international border crossing posts between Slovenia and Austria have now been reopened, but all access roads to Italy remain blocked. It's not possible to reach the port of Koper by vehicle from the Istrian region in Croatia. In fact, it is possible to get only as far as the Dragonja River, part of the Croatia in Slovenia, as the bridge over the river is blocked by heavy storms. We have recently learned, however, that the Slovene Territorial Defense Force We put the border crossing point on the border with Italy at Bergova, in the process capturing 120 troops of the occupation army. It is now just a question of time before this border crossing, that is again flying a Slovene flag, will be open to traffic. And that was the news from Croatian Radio. So until tomorrow night, from me, Tony Dore, a very good night. That's all we have time for. But we'll be back tomorrow, an hour later, because it's Sunday. Till then, it's goodbye from all of us here at Creation Radio, and I'm Lisa Andrews signing off.
Slušali ste emisiju Hrvatskog radija Zagreb, koju emitiramo svakoga dana na kratkom valu. Radnim danom na 41. metru, odnosno na 7315 kHz, a subotom i nedjeljom i na 31. metru, odnosno 9495 kHz. Do slušanja sutra.
You've been listening to Croatian Radio Zagreb, a program of news and current affairs broadcast from the shortwave. We're on the air every day on 41 meters, 7,315 kHz, and on Saturday and Sunday also on 31 meters, 9,495 kHz. So goodbye until tomorrow.
And that was Croatian Radio, taped tonight over the shortwave. Again, thanks to Rob for bringing that in. And we are going to try to bring you better sound, obviously, but also try to monitor the situation so if things get any crazier over there, we'll be able to bring you another side of the news. So stay tuned to this radio station and to this program as we try to make that happen. Just about time for the tripods here. Continuing saga of a typical Long Island family from California. And we also have all kinds of news reports and adventures, things like that. Give you an idea, a hint of what's to come. Take a listen to this. Wake up. Wake up. Why, you stupid. New York telephone operators are hanging up on us for no reason at all. Let's hope it doesn't happen again.
Operator?
Yes, can I have AT&T, please?
One moment for an operator who can assist you. Thank you.
This is AT&T.
Yes, I need the country code for Yugoslavia, please.
The country code is 38 for Yugoslavia.
38?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Thank you very much.
Hi.
Hi. We have one bit of information now. And in a few minutes, we'll have even more. Stay tuned.
Broadcasting Corporation. WHRI broadcasts from Noblesville, Indiana, in the United States of America.
Radio Free Long Island, with the express written consent of the Three Village Tobacco Farms, proudly presents The Adventures of the Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. Our scene shifts back to Long Island this week as Pop Tripod is being questioned at a local police department regarding the shooting of Charlie. And as we look in on him, we hear...
Confound it, Inspector. I don't know what you want. I've told you everything I know.
Now, try not to take it personally, Mr. Tripod. Now, we have to approach this case from all angles. Now, your next-door neighbor was shot right in your house for no apparent reason. And you were there, too. So, naturally, we have quite a few questions to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you care for a cigarette?
No, thanks. I don't smoke.
Huh?
Mind you, I used to. Yeah, I'd go through 5 or 6 packs a day if I felt like it.
So what happened?
Well, I discovered I liked salty pretzels even more. And they're a hell of a lot cheaper, you know.
That may be so, but for me, there's no substitute for the real thing. That's so relaxing. Have you ever taken up cigars?
No, I never did. They're too big for me. They keep falling out of my mouth.
That's too bad. That really is. You know what would be good for a man like you?
What?
A pipe.
A pipe? Yeah, I can picture myself sitting back in a rocking chair, relaxing in the evening air, smoking a big old nice big huge pipe.
Mr. Tripod, let's stop beating around the bush.
Oh.
Who can you think of that would want to kill you?
What? Kill me? What are you talking about? Charlie's the one who was shot, not me.
Come on now, Mr. Tripod. Your neighbor isn't usually in your house, is he?
No.
And how often does he answer your front door?
He never did it before.
Exactly. And isn't it true that your son and his wife are still on vacation somewhere in Europe?
Well, yeah, but they should have been home by now.
Nevertheless, you were the only person living in your house on the day of the shooting, and anyone who was watching you or the house would know that, right?
I guess so.
Good. Well, I'm glad we cleared that up. I feel much better now.
Well, I don't feel much better.
Hey, Callahan, get in here. On the double.
Why would anybody want to shoot me? I never bother anyone. I'm my own business.
Callahan, come on, get a move on.
Yeah, boss.
Where's that listing of the 10 most wanted gun-toting criminals in the suburbs of Long Island?
Oh, I put that in your briefcase, Inspector, so you wouldn't lose it.
Good, good. Now, where's my briefcase?
It's right over there, where you left it. Over here by the, that's funny. I remember seeing it on that table just,
Callahan, right, get downstairs. Get downstairs and block off every one of the exits. Don't let anybody out.
Right, boss.
Riley, you get on the phone and issue an all-points bulletin for that briefcase. Set up roadblocks in every street and search all the buses and trains.
Check.
Dinberg, get over here. You contact all the media, radio, television, newspapers. I want front-page stories tomorrow morning and lead items on the 6 o'clock news tonight. Hurry up!
Isn't this your briefcase over here? Underneath all these papers, Inspector?
What? Oil. Oh, yes, yes, so it is. How about that? That was a close call. My lunch is in there.
What about the gun-toting criminals?
The what? Oh, the gun-toting criminals, yes. Well, every 2 weeks we come up with a list of the top 10 gun-toting criminals on Long Island. The list is compiled from our 3 largest precincts. Of course, a lot of people feel it's unfair that we only expose the more commercially developed gun-toting criminal and don't really pay attention to all the new emerging ones. But that's the way the business operates, you know.
I don't care about that. I want to find out who shot Charlie and whether or not they wanted to shoot me.
Well, I hope you understand, Mr. Tripod, that if this person has only one target, namely you, there wouldn't be much reason for him to be on this list, since no one's seen him yet.
So, how are we going to catch him?
Well, our best bet is to get somebody with a good eye for detail. Then, after you get shot, this person can tell us what the assailant looked like.
But, how are you? What?
And so it appears as if Pop Tripod might be the victim of a future assassination attempt. You want to be with us next time, when we'll hear the inspector say...
Hey, where the hell's my wallet?
That's next time on The Exciting Adventures of the Tripod Family, a presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
This transcription has been developed by White Laboratories, manufacturers of Jetalogen. It provides an opportunity to review, at your convenience, some of the more important heart sounds encountered in clinical practice. In its efforts to be of service to the medical profession, White Laboratories is pleased to make this record available and hopes it will be of value and interest. For orientation, the first illustration is that of the heart sounds heard at the apex from a normal individual. Note the booming muscular quality of the first sound as contrasted with the sharp, short, and higher pitched second sound. The second illustration is that of a gallop rhythm. In heart conditions associated with failure or severe myocardial damage, three distinct sounds may be heard, which simulate the rhythm or gallop of a horse. Note the early diastolic third heart sound, the poor quality of the first heart sound, and the presence of a high-pitched systolic murmur. The third illustration represents a typical systolic murmur heard at the apex in patients with a dilated heart and incompetent mitral valve. Note the high-pitched quality of the murmur, which is blowing in character. It follows immediately after the first heart sound and exists throughout the entire systolic phase of the heartbeat. The fourth illustration represents the typical systolic and diastolic murmurs heard at the apex in a patient with advanced mitral stenosis as the result of rheumatic heart disease. Note the crescendo, the low-pitched pre-systolic rumble, which merges with a snapping first heart sound. The latter is followed immediately by a short, high-pitched, blowing systolic murmur.
Don't you just love that sound?
Moment for an operator who can assist you.
Oh.
Thank you.
I'll just keep that going for a while. Sound of a 78.
Hello, this is the AT&T operator. How can we help you?
Yes, hello. I need overseas information, please, for Zagreb. Z-A-G-R-E-B. That's in Croatia.
A moment, please.
Now, will she know?
And where?
Croatia. Croatia?
Are you saying Malaysia or Croatia?
Croatia, C-R-O-A-T-I-A. You should know it's part of Yugoslavia, or not part of Yugoslavia, depending on who you ask.
One moment.
Sort of a geography test here. Sounds sort of like a heartbeat, doesn't it? Rather catchy.
And how are you spelling the country again?
I'm sorry?
How are you spelling the country?
It's C-R-O-A-T-I-A.
Oh?
I'm sorry?
I'm not hearing you, sir.
C-R-O-A-T-I-A.
Okay, I don't have that listed.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, it's possible. How often are your records updated?
Quite regularly. Why?
Well, this country recently declared independence, but it's possible that it might not be listed yet. You might try under Yugoslavia.
One moment.
See if that rings a bell. A friend of mine recently took a Greyhound bus and was seated next to somebody who was convinced that we were at war with Iran.
And you said the city is Zagreb?
Zagreb.
A moment.
But it'll be interesting to see what she comes up with that kind of pronunciation. We're listening to the end of the record, a record of abnormal heart sounds.
Okay, it's still listed on the Yugoslavia. As a matter of fact, I have several. Which one do you want?
Several cities by the same name?
That's right.
How is that possible?
What do you mean, how is that possible?
Several cities with the same name in the same country?
On the Yugoslavia, I have Zagreb, and the next one is Dubrava. They have different, evidently they have different states or different cities within that same area.
Okay.
Like you have New York, you have Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island, but it's still New York.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, I want the main city, Zagreb, just whatever.
Okay, it's not by itself. I don't have anything listed by itself. So you have to give me something a little... It's all the same city code, though. But
uh-huh.
It has different...
Well, since I need
information number?
Yeah, I just need information there, so maybe they could help us.
Hold on, please.
A Yugoslavian ring. A Croatian ring, actually. I'm sorry. That's a terrible thing about wars. Always the first casualty is people who pick up the phone promptly. But at least we got a line.
I'm sorry, I'm unable to reach information in that country right now. Try back a little later.
Can you tell me what time it is there?
Surely.
I'm sorry?
I said surely. Hold on.
Okay, thank you. Thought you said it was early, being a wise guy.
Okay, in Yugoslavia, it's 5:15 in the morning.
Okay. All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And we tried, but we did not succeed in getting through to Yugoslavia. Well, we did get through to Yugoslavia. We made the phone ring, but we weren't able to get somebody to go answer it. At least not at this time. Maybe we'll try a little bit later on. Our telephone number is 632-6901 if you've got any suggestions as to who to try to reach in Yugoslavia. I was going to try to to get a hold of the people that made that broadcast. You know, Croatian Radio, the English language service, we can actually talk to them and find out what's happening. And we may still be able to do that. We just have to be a little bit, you know, perseverant, I guess. Taking a look at the news, television report in the Slovenian capital of, okay, they have a pronunciation guide here, but this is spelled really weirdly, folks. It's pronounced Ljubljana, but it's not spelled like that at all. Maybe we should try there. Yeah, that'll be fun. We'll try there, and then we just say Ljubljana, and they look under Ljubljana, but they don't find it because it's spelled completely crazy. I can't even pronounce the way it's spelled. All right, we'll try that next. That's in the Slovenian capital. Don't think they have Slovenia either. Anyway, a television report over there says the Yugoslav military has set a deadline of 9 a.m. Sunday, which is 3 a.m. our time. We already know what time it is there. It's 5:15. That deadline has been set for Slovenians to cease hostilities. The report can't be immediately confirmed. However, the Yugoslav army has demanded that Slovenians stop fighting federal troops or face decisive military action. In other words, what you've seen so far is nothing compared to what you will see. And I don't know if you've been watching television, but just seeing tanks rolling over little cars. You know, there's like a car in the road, and this tank just came, and it didn't just push it out of the way. It crushed it into little tiny bits. I mean, tanks are really powerful pieces of machinery. They can go through just about anything. Except human spirit, I guess. Rather poetic. Anyway, the army is accusing Slovenia of violating a ceasefire. U.S. dependents from the American consulate in Yugoslavia's other breakaway republic, Croatia, are being allowed to leave their posts in the capital of Zagreb, where the phones go unanswered. Today's State Department announcement comes a day after the department urged Americans in Croatia and Slovenia to leave as soon as possible. Officials also suggest that Americans put off non-essential travel to Yugoslavia. You know, I was going to go to Yugoslavia this year. Definitely was. I still might. But, I don't know. Should I let this interfere with my plans or not? We'll find out. President Bush is sending a veiled warning to Iraq. The president, vacationing in Maine, is refusing to rule out the possibility of renewed military action. He's condemning Iraq's harassment of UN inspectors trying to examine its nuclear facilities, calling the action simply unacceptable to everybody. Isn't it nice that George Bush is the spokesperson for everybody? Well, better get used to it. In Iraq, the UN nuclear inspection team has put its probe on hold, pending the arrival of high-level UN envoys to back them up. Iraq is promising to cooperate with the inspectors from now on, but the head of the UN team says the Iraqis should have done so from the start. On Friday, Iraqi soldiers fired into the air as UN inspectors took pictures of a truck convoy. Officials in Kuwait say the remaining cases of defendants accused of collaborating with Iraq will be delayed for a week. That's so the cases can be transferred from the disbanded martial law court to state security courts. Human rights groups have harshly criticized the way trials are being carried out. A lot of cleaning up to do, but surprisingly no aftershocks in the wake of Friday's earthquake in Southern California. Two people died, more than 100 were injured by the quake, which registered 6.0 on the Richter scale. Property losses are estimated at $18 million. For more than 30 years, the Mormon Church has refrained from disclosing its finances, but now the Arizona Republic reports the Mormon Church collects at least $4.3 billion a year from its members and another $400 million from its many enterprises. The newspaper says the figures are conservative estimates based on an 8-month investigation. A church statement says, while portions of the series are accurate, there are many deficiencies. A judge in the Seattle area has sentenced a teenager to read the book, The Diary of Anne Frank, for his part in a cross burning on a black family's lawn. Matthew Ryan Toll will have to write a report on the grim Holocaust account within 3 months. The judge says he hopes reading the diary will make Toll more sensitive. Actually, if he really wants to make him more sensitive, This judge should pay for a trip to Amsterdam for this guy so he can actually go into the Anne Frank house. I defy anybody to feel any kind of anti-Semitism or racism or anything like that after going through that. But I guess the judge just didn't care enough to do that. Checking USB Long Island weather. It's 26 degrees Celsius, and that's 79 on the Fahrenheit scale, but we all know it feels a lot more uncomfortable than that. I'd like to hear from people. This is what I'd like tonight, okay? I'd like to hear from people, and I know it sounds kind of, you know, predictable and commercial radio-ish, but I want to know what people do to get through the heat. You know, it's like, it's really, really disgusting outside. It's sticky. You can't see in front of you. You don't want to move. You don't want to do anything. You just want to lounge around, and hopefully if you have air conditioning, you just lounge around inside, and you still don't feel like doing anything because it's sort of artificial air. But going outside is completely unpleasant, and driving around in unair-conditioned cars, which is really the politically correct way to go, it's so unpleasant as to be almost impossible. I'd like to know, are there any secrets to getting through this? I have some secrets because I'm able to get through it, but not quite sure if I'm going to share it with all you out there because doing that might make it a lot harder to do. But if people share some of their secrets, maybe I'll share mine. 632-6901 is our telephone number, area code 516. President George Bush won't be in Kennebunkport, Maine on July 4th. And guess what? Neither will the traditional fireworks display. It's quite a coincidence. The president's absence prompted an anonymous benefactor to pull out of paying the $10,000 to $20,000 cost of the show, officials said. Bush usually spends the 4th of July at his family's vacation home in Kennebunkport, but has announced he will be in Grand Rapids, Michigan on that day. And rock guitarist Carlos Santana was arrested at Houston's Intercontinental Airport, charged with possession of marijuana, U.S. Customs officials said yesterday. 43-year-old Santana was arrested late Thursday and charged by local authorities with misdemeanor possession of about a quarter ounce of marijuana. Crime of the century. Quarter ounce of marijuana. Incredible. Pet cemetery update. And we devoted quite a bit of time to this last week. The pet cemetery in Middle Island that wasn't really burying pets. It was actually dumping them all in a mass grave and sending strange animal ashes to people that thought they were getting those of their pets. From today's Newsday, Suffolk County officials began removing and cremating 40 decaying carcasses from Long Island Pet Cemetery. That happened yesterday. While outside the gates, angry pet owners said they would keep vigil on the site until a judge makes a decision on their suit, calling for the proper identification and disposal of all animals inside. On Tuesday, State Supreme Court Justice William Underwood Jr. ordered cemetery owners not to remove or destroy records or carcasses or make any changes at the site before the July 8th hearing. But Suffolk County Attorney E. Thomas Boyle said the order didn't apply to the county health department, and officials had to dispose of the carcasses because they posed a public health hazard. Steve Weinman, whose two beagles are buried at the cemetery, kept watch yesterday morning and afternoon at the cemetery, where federal officials said workers improperly disposed of thousands of animals. Weinman of Brentwood said the group would like to get back any pet ashes so they can be buried properly. The county is going around not even calling them dogs or cats, Weinman said. They're calling them hazardous waste. It's very insensitive to call a member of your family hazardous waste. I guess that makes sense. The Suffolk Department of Health Services had ordered the owners of the pet cemetery to clean up the 40 carcasses by noon yesterday. When that deadline passed with no action, the county sent in Crematory Service of America of West Babylon to retrieve and cremate the carcasses, none of which could be identified. The health department tried to be sensitive to the feelings of the pet owners by making these special arrangements for someone from a similar type of facility to complete the work, Boyle said. Federal officials closed the Middle Island Cemetery June 18th, Cemetery co-owners Alan Strauss of Dix Hills and his father Samuel Strauss of Boca Raton, Florida, and two employees have been charged with mail fraud for allegedly falsely advertising proper cremation and burial of pets. The four are accused of dumping up to 250,000 animal carcasses into pits at the cemetery instead of cremating them, and cremating thousands of others in groups rather than individually as pet owners were promised. Some pet owners had filed a suit asking a court to bar the cleanup of the cemetery. The attorney for the elder Strauss, Jack Goldberger of West Palm Beach, Florida, declined to comment yesterday about the cleanup except to say that one of the concerns on all parties' part is that there have been civil restraining orders entered and everyone has to move very carefully. Assistant U.S. Attorney Andrew Luger of Brooklyn said the elder Strauss waived his right to a Florida hearing yesterday on the matter. Goldberger said there is another side of the story and it'll be told up here in New York. And when it is, you will hear it here on WUSB. The pet cemetery controversy continues. I said it last week and met with an angry mob outside the studio, but I'll say it again this week because I don't care. Ashes are ashes. You know, I'm not saying these guys should get away with anything. They should be dealt with in the most harsh way possible for ripping people off. But, you know, I really think people are kidding themselves if they think that having ashes of a certain particular person really mean anything to that particular person. That particular person is a worthless shell, as the Klingons say. Treat it as such. Yeah, I know the Klingons don't really exist, but it's a good philosophy, you know, when somebody or something passes this realm, it's their spirit that matters. It's what's left to memory and the things that they've done. But the actual carcass, the actual useless body or ashes or whatever it is it turns into, it's completely meaningless. And I think if more people realize that, it would, make this kind of thing a lot easier and a lot less expensive, too. It might also add some meaning to the actual life that was lived. Pet or non-pet, you know? Can't say pets are worth less than humans because to a lot of people they're worth a lot more. That's my final opinion on this. We're still taking calls for people that have hints to get out of the heat, 632-6901. I realize and I can see that one of the things that people don't do when it's hot out is make telephone calls. The whole switchboard is dead. And the whole listenership is dead. That's possible, too. I mean, who wants to get on a hot, sticky phone? Because it does stick to your ear, you know, and when you talk on it for long periods of time and it's hot outside or inside. Ugh, I don't even want to think about it. All right, we said we were going to make a phone call here. So I guess we should do that without any further delay. But again, our phone number is 632-6901 to make that phone call. Let's see if we can get information over in Slovenia. Let's see if this operator knows geography a little better than the last one.
Yes,
can I have AT&T, please?
One moment for an operator who can assist you. Thank you.
AT&T operator, how can I help you?
Hi, looking for overseas information, please, for the Republic of Slovenia.
Slovenia?
Yeah, that's Slovenian.
One moment. S-L-O-V...
V-E-N...
E-N...
V-E-N-I-A-N.
I-A-N. Now...
You're not showing it?
Hold on.
How strange.
No. Mo, is that in Russia?
No, actually, well, they recently declared independence, so maybe it's not in the computer yet. It might be listed under Yugoslavia.
Yugoslavia. Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, Yugoslavia. Back up.
Sounds like she's having fun, doesn't it? I love keeping operators amused.
S-L-O-V-E-N-J. L-O-V-E-N. A-K-A. O-V-E-N-S-K-E.
Well, now, that would be the equivalent of a state, I guess. So maybe I should give you the city.
Yeah, city, please.
Okay, the city is Ljubljana.
Hello?
Ljubljana is the way it's pronounced.
You spell it. Hello?
I'll try. Okay, it's spelled L-J... U-B-L-J-A-N-A.
Okay. Well, let me back up and start from scratch.
Oh, I feel so guilty.
L-J-U-B-L-J-A-N-A. That's nice. It didn't type out.
Huh. My computer did that, too, the other day. Come to think of it, it did a lot worse than that.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Okay. 61 is the area code.
The area... You mean the city code?
City code, yes.
Okay. And 38 is the country code, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I just need information.
In order for you to dial... Since your telephone is blocked from AT&T, you would have to dial an access code of 1028811.
Uh-huh.
And the country code 38... City code 61, and then the number.
You can tell that my phone is blocked, huh?
Yes.
What does it come up as?
Your customer dialing instructions in error. Can't reach AT&T blocked.
Huh. Yeah, I'm not too happy about that. It wasn't my decision. But can you hook us up to overseas information over there?
Okay, hold on one moment, please. Let me back up to the... In here.
Okay.
Okay. See if I can get the operator.
There's a phone ringing in Slovenia now. For all I know, they could just be playing recordings of this particular tone, which never seems to answer anyway. You notice that no matter what country we call, this little tone never answers. Probably some tremendous scam. .35 in Yugoslavia. 5:35 a.m.
The operator doesn't seem to be answering.
No, it doesn't seem that way. Can you tell me how many digits are phone numbers usually over there?
It's can say.
Doesn't say?
Can say.
Okay. I'm sorry?
Different numbers, different amounts.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks very much for your time anyway.
Okay, sir, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Have a good night. That was a rather nice operator, I thought. She tried really hard. And I believe operators should get credit when they try really hard. What we're going to do is, since she gave us the information as far as city code and all that, let's see if we can actually, maybe that's not a nice thing to do, is call somebody at 5:30 in the morning in a country that's torn by war. Maybe, I was thinking of calling something at random, but, on second thought, even I have some morals, and that just might not be prudent at this juncture. But what I will do is, over the next week, look up a number myself and come back with the number and call that. It's best I can do. Okay, it's 11:37, and we still have yet to get a phone call. Maybe our phones are down completely. Let's get those phone lines ringing. 632-6901, we were talking about the heat and how people bear it, what happens in the heat. You know, I tend to get a lot more, upset by trivial things, like people driving in front of you at 20 miles an hour for no particular reason, sightseeing, people that insist on parking next to you in an empty parking lot, things like that, you know, makes you really want to do something violent. I don't know if other people react the same way, but we're also talking about pet cemeteries, Yugoslavia, and all kinds of other things. A couple of good letters in the paper today about the parade a couple of weeks ago, the Gulf War Parade. One entitled, Parade Brings Shame on New York City. Although it's been 20 years since I've lived in any great urban center, having been born and raised in New York City has somehow remained a source of pride for me. After having glimpsed the parade of June 10th on TV, such a state of mind may now be coming to an end. To think that Broadway, a street that has stood for the most creative, uplifting instincts of mankind, would now lend itself to such a colossal propaganda stunt is one of the saddest moments of my life. It's one thing to celebrate such culminant moments in history as the end of World War II and the Civil War, and quite another to stage such a mammoth spectacle for such an insignificant event as the Gulf War. It's as if Notre Dame just destroyed Slippery Rock State College in football and decided to call it the greatest victory in its gridiron history. It's obvious to me our nation is quite desperate to find something to be proud of in its recent past. Quite clearly, we still have not found it. How depressing to think the city of Gershwin, Cole Porter, DiMaggio, and Woody Allen has now been taken over by Archie Bunker. I've never felt more ashamed to be a native New Yorker. Letter in today's Newsday from Jerome Grappell of Key West, Florida. And also, Iraq's loss, no cause for pride. We Americans celebrate very few of the real heroes of this age, but instead attribute heroism to mere victims. If victims are heroes, then we were responsible for murdering 150,000 heroes in the Persian Gulf War. But those Iraqi conscripts were no more heroes than those who are taken hostage anywhere else in the world. The war we fought against Iraq for a change was a just one. It was ugly, but it had to be done. We should have great respect for our troops and those of the rest of the Allied nations for having put their lives on the line to make the sort of international law that aggression of the sort Saddam Hussein perpetrated will not be tolerated. But a parade? With millions cheering and celebrating? The war had to be fought, but we don't have to be proud of what happened. What happened was a turkey shoot. What happened was a massacre with little resistance. Who was it who dreamed that the horror of 150,000 murdered ignorant conscripts is a cause for celebration? That letter from Arthur Gaddy of Manhattan, again in today's Newsday. A couple of good letters, you know. I wish there were more letters like that before the parade. Maybe the stupid thing wouldn't have happened in the first place. Sure caused a lot of bitter feelings. 632-6901 is our phone number. Maybe the transmitter's not on. I don't know. Cable company in Texas planning to drop MTV. When's the last time you heard this? As television viewers in Yugoslavia, the Soviet Union, and Poland are finally getting to see MTV, a small cable company in Tyler, Texas, has decided to take it off the air because of moral objections to the shows. If the cable company, TCA, follows through with its plan to drop the service on Sunday, it will be the first time that MTV has been removed from a cable system for such reasons, said Carol Robinson, MTV's vice president for press relations. An employee of the cable company who insisted on anonymity said, "We did not think its programming was suitable for general audiences." You know, that really burns me up. Cable companies acting as censors. You know? That's what they are. They are censors. They tell you what you can and cannot see. If they don't like a particular channel, they just take it off. And what are you going to do about it? What can you possibly do? A source close to MTV said that the cable company had repeatedly complained about MTV's program content, saying that it was pornographic. Pornographic. MTV has been in TCA's system since 1983. MTV has already received more than 200 phone calls from viewers in the TCA systems who want the service maintained. She noted that several years ago, a group called the Army of God had tried to have MTV removed from cable systems, but had been unsuccessful because of organized resistance from cable subscribers. TCA is a publicly held company that has subscribers in Texas, Idaho, Louisiana, Mississippi, New Mexico, and Arkansas. The company's decision has already elicited reaction. For example, in Bentonville, Arkansas, on Thursday, in an editorial in the Benton Country Daily Record, Roger W. Fry wrote, "Most of us with a television have two options when we see something we don't like on it. We can turn the channel, or we can turn the television off. Now, I would like to turn TCA off. It makes free-thinking individuals mad, nauseous, and mystified that TCA decided out of the blue to dump MTV." Absolutely incredible. And the person from MTV says this notion of the programming being borderline pornographic is ludicrous. 57 million homes see us every day and know that we are a responsible programmer. In fact, MTV declined to broadcast the latest Madonna music video. Nightline did. Nightline did broadcast it on ABC, and I could not see anything wrong with it, apart from the musical part, but I couldn't see anything wrong with, you know, the actual video. I mean, people are so incredibly sensitive. Why don't they invent a device, okay? They can invent a device that you hook up to your TV set, and it just blocks certain channels. Can't do anything. You can't watch it. It's up to you to block whatever channel you want. You don't like CBS? You can block CBS out of your TV set. Then you can broadcast whatever you want. It'll be sort of like freedom of speech. And that's something that's going to be incredibly hard to find now that we're losing one of the more liberal members of the Supreme Court, no doubt to be replaced by a conservative. No question about that. And, you know, it's just so wrong for that to happen. You know, here we have a president that is going to, we all know this, it's pretty much a foregone conclusion. He's going to abuse this power by putting somebody who agrees with his political ideology in a position of power, which will last for generations, probably. Is that what a court should be? A bunch of people who think the same way? Or a bunch of people who think differently and can hash it out and can sort of come to a compromise? I mean, there should be people of every political walk of life sitting on that court, I think. That's my personal opinion on that. 632-6901, area code 516. We know there's people out there. Yes, there's lots of people out there. I hear from them during the week. But now, I want to hear from you on the weekend. It's 11:45. We only have 15 minutes to go. And rather than miss out, maybe forever, on the opportunity to voice your opinion on the radio, give us a call and help transmit your thoughts to other people. You never know who's out there. And the final news item of this week, which I thought was rather funny, 98% in survey assert they are not cheating on their spouses. That's right. National survey on sex shows that 6% of the population says It engages in behavior with a high risk for catching AIDS, and nearly all married people say they are faithful to their spouses. A survey by the National Opinion Research Center at the University of Chicago also found that less than 2% of the population had homosexual relations in the past 12 months. The most commonly cited previous work from the Kinsey Institute found 10% of the population is homosexual. The new study, which was published in the May-June issue of Family Planning Perspectives, a peer-reviewed journal of the Alan Guttmacher Institute, surveyed American adults' sexual habits during 1988 and 1989. It found that more than 98% of married people said they had been faithful to their spouses in the 12 months before they were polled. The survey also found that about three-fourths of Americans consider sex outside marriage always wrong. United States, I mean, just to make sure that, you know, we're not talking about a different country here. It's this country today that this poll alleges to have polled. Yeah, married people report having sex about 67 times a year. Separated people, 66 times. I'm not sure if they mean with the people that they're separated from. Divorced people, 55 times, and those who have never been married, 54 times. Widows and widowers report having sex 6 times a year. The overall average, that's getting the phones lit up, I knew it would. The overall average for adults was 57 times a year. The survey also found that 3% of Americans said they had been celibate since age 18, 3%, but 22% was celibate in the year before the survey, while 33% of adults had engaged in some risky behavior since the age of 18, only 6% were considered at high risk for AIDS from their behavior in the year before they were surveyed. The numbers are less permissive and more conservative than we initially feared. Feared? Therefore, the threat of massive quick spread of AIDS into the general community is not as great. I don't know if it's permissiveness and lack of conservatism that makes AIDS spread. I doubt it very much. I think it's simply ignorance and lack of education. However, he added, 6% does translate into millions of people, and it's still a very big problem. I think I see where this survey is coming from, and I think I see now why it should not really be looked upon as the final word on any of this. What would you say in a poll? 632-6901. Let's see who's out there. Good evening.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Yeah, the MTV thing was actually, that's kind of like a joke almost, you know?
Well, I'm not laughing. I think it's kind of dangerous.
Well, it's the same groups that like ran the PMRC that attacked all the bands that they tried to get rid of and with the lynch mobs and
Yeah, except don't you realize they seem to be getting more and more control? You know, a cable company can just black it out, and what are you going to do?
Yeah, they start off. They come out with, they try to get one band, and then after they get more power and more power, they're going after cable companies, which is like absolutely outrageous.
Uh-huh. And this particular cable company happens to be at the forefront of it themselves. They're going to block MTV from all their subscribers, and the subscribers have nothing to say about it.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. And like the Madonna video that you're talking about, the reason why they don't like no one really, like, they took to the videos, but, like, they said it was outrageous because they're all afraid that, you know, she's exposing another culture to the youth of today, and it's bad that she's promoting the homosexuality in her videos and the lesbianism. You know, they're all afraid that, you know, if their children watch this and they see that this might be an accepted lifestyle.
Oh, they might just grow up in an honest life.
They might actually develop their own ideas and actually come out of the closet, you know, so to speak.
Uh-huh. Or at least be educated, or at least know, you know, about alternate ways of living, you know, and come to a rational decision on their own.
Mm-hmm.
God forbid people come to rational decisions on their own. You know, everybody always wants to be able to tell you what to do and shape you in their little mold.
Yeah, and what were the neighbors think of?
Yeah,
another
really.
Thing I thought is, like, that's actually, like, you know, that not too many people are talking about is the Boy Scout of America decision. Like, they don't accept homosexual kids in there, and now they're refusing a girl to join.
Yeah, I heard about the girl thing, but the homosexual one really hit me hard because, did you hear the way they phrased it? If we let a homosexual in, it would deny the Boy Scouts of America their constitutional right to say that homosexuality is evil. I mean, it's the most incredible twisted logic. And there was the Supreme Court, I believe, that said that. Yeah. So you can deny somebody entrance to a group because their entrance would violate the rights of the people denying them entrance.
Yes.
That's incredible.
But then these are also the same people that are they get mad because of the kids end up growing up with this idea that the girls aren't they're not on the same level, so that men are always will be at the you know. So the women will be the inferiority group of the minority of them and the homosexuals. So then if they go out and beat on them, you know, it's all right.
if you
the less than group.
If you grow up apart from a particular group, yeah, you can believe anything that's told to you about that group.
Yeah, I'm saying it's like just like the morals that this. That, I mean, the Boy Scouts of America are supposed to be a good moral understanding group, and obviously they're not.
I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw one. I'll probably get a lot of trouble for that, but...
In between my stuttering here and not really making a point here, but all right, that's all I really had to say.
Thanks for calling. And what city are you calling from?
I'm from Medford.
Medford. Okay, thanks so much for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
And speaking of Medford, I don't think this person was involved in that, but Suffolk County Police have seized $250,000 worth of fireworks from a Medford man. Yeah, just figured I mentioned that. That happened tonight. Good evening.
How'd you come by that album that you played before?
Which album is that? The Fantastic Planet?
Yeah.
Well, I had to call all over the world to find out what record label it was on. It turned out to be a French record. I had to find all these rare record stores in Manhattan and finally find one that agreed to go through every single record in their collection and do a translation and find the French title. And then I had to find somebody that would go in there, because they only open like 2 hours a day, and actually pick it up for me and find the right one.
Wow.
It wasn't easy. But it's a good record.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
The guesses were pretty good. You know, some people thought it was Genesis, some people thought it was Pink Floyd, but it wasn't. It was actually, the music is done by a guy named Alain Goriguer. It's Goriguer. And, I liked it a lot. The film is really good, too.
I like how you decide to, like, look for the album, like, by seeing the movie.
Actually, I saw the film, and somebody informed me that there was a soundtrack, but, quote, it's impossible to find, unquote. And when somebody says something like that...
You gotta go for it.
I gotta go for it. You got it.
Oh, with, gate, what was it, down. There's also, Lyme's disease is down also.
Yeah, that's on the same page. You're reading the same paper as I am, yeah, on Newsday. They say that could just be a coincidence or something like that, but Lyme disease is something to be careful of. Got to watch for those little ticks, and the little ticks you can't see, you know? And I was reading a Lyme disease pamphlet the other day, and it says, sometimes there are no symptoms. And it's like, you know, what good is a pamphlet that tells you there's no symptoms to a disease you're trying not to get?
Yeah.
You know, what are you supposed to do? You can't see the ticks, you can't see the symptoms, you might as well just give up.
That's when it's rarely fatal, I guess.
Yeah, one of the symptoms, and this is a symptom for every disease in the world, is, you know, fatigue, and you feel kind of breathless and listless and all that kind of thing. So if you feel that, you could have anything, but it might be Lyme disease, so just, you know, check it out. And if you do have Lyme disease, if you catch the disease before it spreads more, you can, you know, get rid of it fairly quickly. But, you know, if you... wait a long time, it could be a lot worse.
You should make a skin disease record, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, heart murmurs and stuff.
Yeah, you know, we didn't get a chance to get to the second half of that heart murmur record, but we'll probably play that next week. Maybe I'll even play the second half of Fantastic Planet next week, too. All right?
All right, thank you.
What city are you in?
Smithtown.
Smithtown, okay. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
632-6901. Good evening.
Hello, Eric.
Yo.
I was really very upset to hear about this business with MTV. Where is this cable company located?
This cable company is located in Texas. Let's see exactly where they are.
Bible Belt.
You could say that. I don't think they say exactly. Yeah, Tyler, Texas. That's it. Tyler, Texas, and they're called TCA. Something cable, I guess, but that's a cable company, TCA.
It's sad. It's not surprising. And now, I had to laugh when I heard about the business with the Boy Scouts and stuff like that. It should serve as encouragement to know that this is the intellectual shape these people are in, that they'll actually think that way.
Uh-huh.
This business with the Boy Scouts. And I'm planning on marching tomorrow in the Lesbian and Gay Pride Parade in Manhattan.
Oh, that's right. That's taking place tomorrow, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
What time does that start?
I believe it starts at 12:30.
Uh-huh. Well, it's something I believe gets bigger every year, and... and hopefully we'll get positive press coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And not looked upon as aliens descending from another planet.
Yeah.
I don't know about this sex poll. This sex poll is, I can't believe anything it says. You know, 98% of people aren't cheating on their spouses, and something like less than 2% of the people in the country are gay.
Well, no, that doesn't sound quite right.
Yeah. And, you know, especially when you look upon the people that have the survey saying, well, you know, we're really concerned about this threat, referring to the people that do cheat and the people that are gay and people that supposedly are at risk for AIDS. I don't know. It makes you wonder if they have a hidden agenda or not so hidden agenda.
Get people's minds off it.
Uh-huh.
People from thinking about stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll see more surveys and polls.
Oh, yes, of course.
Thanks very much for calling. And what city are you in?
I'm in Lake Ronkonkoma right now.
Okay. Well,
heat, but the heat. Take a cool shower and then don't dry off afterward. It works.
Well, I guess you can't really wear anything then if you do that, right?
Well, of course, you'd have to be home when you did that.
Well, that's true. Well, if more people did it when they weren't home, it would certainly make for more conversations.
Yes.
Thanks so much for calling.
You're welcome.
All right. 632-6901. We only have a couple of minutes left. Good evening.
Yeah, it's Rob again.
Hey, Rob, you're the guy that brought us Radio Croatia before.
Yeah. Something wasn't mentioned on today's, but yesterday's, when I first caught it, in front of the UN, tomorrow the 30th at 2 p.m., in front of the UN, I guess there'd be a pro-Croatian and Slovenian independence rally.
And you're sure that's Sunday, not today?
So the 30th. Is that today the 30th? They said Sunday.
That's Sunday. So, okay, give us the time and place again.
2 p.m. in front of the UN.
Well, you know, you could catch the parade and the demonstration in the city tomorrow. It's going to be hot as hell, but certainly be an educational day. Rob, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to get us that tape. And
welcome.
Right. Keep listening to the shortwave. See what else you can find out. If you hear anything from Slovenia, that would certainly be interesting as well.
And find it. Hey, one comment about the poll.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody just calls you up and just says, we're taking this survey, like, would you really answer it seriously?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, who the heck knows who it is? It's some joke and whatnot. So, used to get prank calls a while ago, like people pretending to be a computer and like ask weird sexual questions and stuff, but you could tell they were pranks.
Yeah.
So,
a lot of that going around these days. Listen, we have to sign off.
Okay,
thanks
good
for
night.
Calling. And that's Brain Damage for tonight, the 29th day of June. Next time we're here, it's going to be July. Bit of a shock, isn't it? Well, stay tuned for Cabretno Sound Test, and we'll be back at you next week. Bye.
Something is killing the land before your eyes.